Good morning, everyone. We welcome you today to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with our topic of probation after death. We're very glad you could join us today. We're recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And Florence will lead us in our morning prayer.
Yeah, this is a prayer, part of a prayer from page 140 to 141 of Watchers' Prayers and Arguments. Be like a little child. Turn your thoughts to love and say, oh, love, just take me in. Give me one mind, one consciousness, and make me love my neighbor as myself. Let your heart cry out to divine love. A child cries out to its mother for more light, more truth, more love. Ask love for what you need and for what love has to give. Then take it and demand of yourself to rise up and live it. God will direct you in all your ways. If you trust him, faith must take hold before sight or fruition, and this faith will, when instructed in divine science, become understanding, and you will have no doubts, but every proof of his promise, lo, I am with you always. Mary Baker Eddy.
Well, thank you. All right. Karen's back, right?
Yes, Karen's back.
Karen's back. Okay.
Watch 388. Watch that you do not lose sight of the need for continuous progress. Mrs. Eddy once said, quote, a belief of personal sense that is governed by the truth is a harmonious belief. A harmonious belief governed by truth is spiritual sense, understanding, end quote. This statement gives us the authority for a demonstration to bring out harmony in belief, providing we do not stop there. We must hold in mind the acme of science, namely the attainment of spiritual sense or understanding through the elimination of the belief in matter, even though this belief has been made harmonious through the action of truth. Mrs. Eddy once described Jesus' progress as follows, quote, Jesus in the silent tomb spiritualized his personal corporeal body to the extent of presenting its sound. Then he ascended, laid off his corporeality. All his mechanism was preserved and restored until the ascension. He ate with his disciples, showing that he could digest his food with his natural functions. I always preserve the above harmonious being in my thought, just as Jesus did. End quote.
Thank you. Okay. Comments on that one?
Well,
Okay, Bruce, go ahead.
Mrs. Eddy finished her comment saying, I always preserve this in my thought. And she did. And this goes back to a little bit of a history lesson. You may know that the very early years of her life, a lot of it was illness and invalidism. But in 1866, she discovered that there was a science to this thing called Christianity. Spent the next ensuing years to make an attempt to put it down in writing. And then finally, in 1875, wrote the textbook. So she did continually preserve this good idea in her being, because in her later years, she had health like she never enjoyed before, and she proved it. And hopefully for us here that are learning Christian science, you know, preserving this right thought is more than just a pleasant convenience, but rather a vital necessity. And the experience with Mrs. Eddy was, for her, it was a vital necessity. And she did it. And she lived her Christian Science.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bruce. Good example. Who else? Was that you, Karen, that was going to speak?
Yeah. I was going to say something.
Oh, Zari. Okay, Zari.
I'm so grateful we can learn from the life of Mary Baker Eddy, because when doubts come up, then I can always go back to this strong staff of awareness, love, and care.
Thank you. So important. That's why we read her biographies, as well as the reading her textbook, prose works, and the Bible. It's most important to know who and what she was, the right and good biographies that we have on our website, thanks to Tom. There's a big selection of them, but there are also those who misrepresent her that we do not want to read and want to have nothing to do with except to destroy them, because it's not the truth about her.
Darkens your thought.
Yes, thank you. Darken your thought. You know, go ahead, please.
To me, it's also another reminder that we cannot give up. We just have to keep on going, trusting God and knowing that progress is the law of God and only for God good.
Thank you. Yes, and God demands of us only what?
Certainly fulfill.
Thank you. Yes. And that is progress every day is the demand. And that's why to count your blessings and gratitude every night is so important, because you're reminded of the progress you made or perhaps didn't make, but should be making. And in the lesson this week, and I love this, where on 568, Mrs. Eddy says, "For victory over a single sin, we give thanks and magnify the Lord of hosts. What shall we say of the mighty conquest over all sin?" But a single sin, everything, every progress, every step in the right direction, we should rejoice and magnify God. This is what we think about. This is what we hold to. Not about, oh, I did this wrong or that wrong, because mortal mind will try to hold you in your mistakes. No, you get out of that and remember the good that you did, whatever progress you made. Rejoice and magnify the Lord. Don't ever forget to do this. It'll keep you in the right mind, so to speak, the mind of Christ, and out of the carnal mind. Now, it also says, through the elimination of the belief in matter, even though this belief has been made harmonious through the action of truth. This is where people can get stalled when they have a harmonious sense of matter. Maybe your work in Christian Science has gotten you your answers, health or finance or whatever you were praying for, and then you just stall there. You don't go further, which is actually the elimination of all matter. And I remember in the, I think it's the letter or the article about, it's called Sight, and someone who was born blind and was getting help from the practitioner. And the practitioner said, well, you can rejoice that now you have to prove your sight is all spiritual, right? Sometime you'll get to a point where, you know, your old body, so it would seem, your old body just ain't doing what it should. and then that's why we must keep with the science so that doesn't happen in the first place. It shouldn't happen. Carpenter calls that witchcraft. So, and if you stay up with it, you don't have to have it to such extremes. But otherwise, everything seems to fall apart. Well, no, thank you. And so then, if you're a scientist, you really should be forced to understand all movement is in mind, your sight is spiritual, your hearing is spiritual understanding. Mrs. Eddy gives the definitions in the glossary. You need to up your ante, so to speak, so you don't get into this. To know who and what you are is the image and likeness of God. And that doesn't mean it can happen at any time in your life. But I love that. I love that the practitioner said, well, now's the time. You've got to prove Your sight isn't in some old eyeball. It's in God. You see because God sees. So.
And also she said it was the joy to prove it. And this rejoicing is a key element. Gladness to leave the false landmarks and joy to see them disappear.
Thank you very much.
So imagine if you had to prove something, if you had to make progress in some way, and we can rejoice in doing it. You know, the trick of the devil is to get you depressed and make you want to quit. You know, you don't get your answer the first shot. I give up. I guess it didn't work. Don't do that, please. Progress is a continual journey, and we're all on this continual journey. Let's rejoice that we're on it.
Thank you. Yes, and that is an lesson to gladness to leave the false landmarks. And Mrs. Eddy talks about that we have to accept lovingly today, not grumble and grounce, as we talked about last week. Now, Chardell, would you like to read something from your paper on progress?
Yes, there are a lot of them.
Should I just read one?
Just read one.
Yes. Yes, you'll.
Okay. Let's see. Spiritual causation is the one question to be considered more than all other spiritual causation relates to human progress. The age seems ready to approach this subject to ponder somewhat the supremacy of spirit, and at least to touch the hem of truth's garment.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, the lesson also says to stop sleeping or drinking or whatever, right? Remember? We can only demonstrate what we know. So we have to, individuals are consistent who watching and praying can run and not be weary, walk and not faint, who gain good rapidly and hold their position, or attain slowly and yield not to discouragement. So step by step out of this belief of life and matter. But to make progress is really, God demands it of us. So.
And the one thing to be aware of, getting back to our watch, one thing to be aware of is when you do experience the demonstration, you do experience the healing, you do experience the needs being met, the temptation is to be grateful for the result instead of being grateful for God for bringing about the result.
Very, very true, and very, very, very important.
The human mind is so proud of itself that it doesn't want to give credit to God. So don't go there. And you'll find, if and many of you probably already know this, but if, you'll find that if you continually thank God for the good that you received that day, you will make the progress, and you won't get stuck.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, and I think the other temptation is to slack off. And, you know, if things seem calm and happy around you, slack off. That's why we love tribulation in a way, because it keeps us on our toes. But to be able to stay on your toes and rouse yourself and rise up and have that energy and that conviction and that determination and that just gratitude for all of this is like, you know, and to be enthusiastic and excited about it is like, you know, remind yourself. I try to remind myself every day and all the time, like, wow, this is amazing. This is awesome.
Good. Exactly. Very true. And that's why in that ways of health, you know, the qualities you need to have health and keep health.
Right. And this is amazing and awesome because God is amazing and awesome.
Yes. Yeah. And one of those great qualities is to keep your awe like a little child. You know, a little child is always looking at things with new eyes, like, wow, first snowfall or whatever it is. So keep that childlike quality about yourself, of being awed by God and the wonder of his universe.
That God makes all things new.
Thank you. Now, there were a couple of things I wanted to mention before we go any further, and that is the November issue of The Liberator will be our Christmas edition, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Holy Day. And the theme will be O Little Town of Bethlehem. And this year we're going to invite, there are many of you who are artists, various kinds of artists. And if you would like to advertise your website in our magazine, we will do that. And I guess send your website address to Jeremy.
Yeah, please.
And if you have any like pictures or something of your work you'd like to show too, I guess you could, we might have room for that. If we don't, we won't. But if we can, we will. So it would be nice. And I know we have a lot of artists, painters, and Luann does pottery. And maybe some of you, I mean, the purpose of this, maybe some of you would like to buy our members' artwork, yeah, to give as a Christmas gift or for your own. So please do that as soon as you can, and we'll publish it in the November Liberator. And also, I just wanted you to be aware of this. This past Sunday, last Sunday, we had over 400 people listening, which for a small church as we are, was really good. We're very happy about that. I think it was probably a record. And for the Wednesdays and also for the roundtables, we get close to 300 people listening. So you might think there's just very few listening like right now, but that's not true. There's almost 300 people listening and on a weekly basis. So, and we're very grateful for all of those who come, whether you speak or not. We're glad to have you here. But and we're grateful to God for this growth that's going on. And also, Linda pointed out, I guess you'd call it was a short sermon by, I think he's an evangelist preacher, but the article states, I think it was called Speed Versus Wisdom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he brings out in this evangelistic movement, the mega churches, but how in many cases they've had huge growth, but the growth was not truly spiritual. It was just adding numbers. And he says this, which I think this is very important. It's important for our church, every church. Phrases such as fastest growing or one of the largest became absolute curses to the body of Christ, curses which continue to operate. Born of immaturity, inherent in these phrases are wrong motivation, a deficient understanding of God, the wounding of others, and the propagating of a competitive spirit. Nowhere in the scriptures will you find speed or size to be the criteria for success or greatness. Yet they have taken center stage to American Christian culture. This has done much more damage than most realize. When the standard for success is distorted, the efforts to achieve it also invariably go amiss. Those are very wise words. I need to remind myself sometimes, because quality over quantity is never good. So, I'm sorry.
The other way around.
Quantity over quality. No, you say it.
Quality
over quantity, yes.
Quantity over quality is our mantra.
Yeah.
Quantity over quality is a disaster.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it goes along with Mrs. Eddy when she looked out at the, I think it was the Mother Church or anyway.
No, Pleasant View.
Oh, yeah, Pleasant View.
When hundreds, thousands of people came from all over the country to the annual meeting, and then came to Pleasant View to hear her speak
and to look at her personality.
She looked out, and later she wrote, I looked out and I saw no Christian scientists.
Yeah, not one.
Not one.
Now, it is much better that there are, we go ahead slowly and surely, and that your understanding of science, your spiritualization of thought deepens. This is the progress that needs to be made, more than just having all these people attend, and some of them only interested in the loaves and fishes. What we do here, everything we learn, our master's precepts, science and health, all of this must be taken very reverently, not superficially, but deeply and reverently. This is holy work we're dealing with. Must be treated this way. It has to. And I'd rather have a few really good workers than thousands that don't know what they're doing. So I know at one time there was talk, you know, that church needed to grow, that we were stagnating, that we needed to market. We tried that marketing. It was dreadful. I was the one who answers the phone. Most of the people who called were people who were angry with Christian Science. And the few that were maybe sincere, we never heard from again. It was a dreadful thing. It's human. No. I know, and you all should know, that God brings to this church and to pure Christian Science those that are ready to come. And he does, and he will, which is why we have such an outstanding group of people, because we do. And
Mary,
anyone, yes?
Oh, I thought you were done. Sorry.
I'm never done. anyone who has come with an egotistical attitude, they get ejected. Not because we ever do a thing to them, but they poof, they go. Okay, Tony.
Sorry, I'm still laughing. That was a beautiful comeback. That is a challenge, you know, for us to not jump in and use human ways and means to accomplish what we think is something good for God. I've had this conversation with you about the advertising, about how we, you know, try to promote a website or something. This happened back in Mary Baker Eddy's day, when they wanted to build the church. All the members wanted to go about fundraising in the old-fashioned way that they knew of, and she tried to tell them not to do it. But they continued. They wanted to do like a bake-off, and they did all these little things to raise money the way they had known. And she said, this is not the right way to do it. Well, they went ahead and did it. They raised all the money for the church, and then they gave the church to the treasurer, and the treasurer ran off with all the money, and it was gone. And they had to completely start over and do it. That church could not be established unless it was done through mind at every single step of the way. And that's a lesson for us on how we must grow.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. This must always be first and foremost in our thinking. We continue obeying Mrs. Eddy, following her precepts, whatever she said. And she was not in favor, of course, in human ways and means. No, it has nothing to do with a Christian Science church. Slow and sure is just fine. Just fine. So one other thing I wanted to mention, Tom from New York brought this out, where he had been talking to a friend of his, Principia, class taught, all the stuff. And it had never, did not know about what had happened to Pleasant View. Now, a few years ago, maybe some of you don't know either, but a few years ago, I think it was Wendy Marshall from South Carolina, she sent me this, it's not really a book, it's like a pamphlet called The Demise of Pleasant View. It's written by Christine Anderson. You can get it on Amazon. You can also get it on the David Keeston Healing Unlimited.
Yeah, if you go to our store page and scroll to the bottom, I put a link on there so you can.
Yes. It's good to know. And this book, this little pamphlet, is full of newspaper accounts of exactly what happened. And actually, I'm mentioning this because if anyone would like to The newspaper accounts are difficult to read. If anyone would like to take the time to type this up, or a few of you, and also to have proofers, I think it would be good to make it a lot easier to read. And you'll find out what had happened to beautiful Pleasant View. So if anyone would like to do that, they can contact
Jeremy or Carol.
Jeremy or Carol, or me, and I'll forward it. So thank you.
It's part of the history of the church, the organization, that helps to understand what has happened to the organization since Mrs. Eddy left. And therefore, it is instructive.
It is. Yes. All right. The lesson. Jeremy.
Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Thank you. Now, anyone want to comment on this?
Well, it certainly goes against any interpretation of the Bible where God had wrath or whatever.
Yes.
And that he was against us. Our God is not Zeus.
Thank you. And that's why the inspired interpretation of the Bible is so important. Some people have trouble reading the Bible because of all of that stuff, but you have to understand that was a human estimation of things at that time. But that's why science and health is so important, and our Bible studies as well, because it's a spiritual interpretation. And we were taught here, you always ask yourself, if you're not sure, is this a thought from God that loves me? And if it's not a thought from God that loves me, then what?
I don't want to hear it.
Right.
Well, then it's not true.
Yes.
And it's not real. And it has no power to harm you unless you give it power.
Thank you.
You know, something that really helped me a little bit before coming here and getting to learn Christian Science, I had gone through a period of being an atheist or whatever, but I realized that wasn't really doing it. So I started thinking, okay, if I was God and I actually loved the creation that I made, how would I act? And that thought really changed me. And then when I came here and started learning about Christian Science, and that's exactly what Christian Science teaches, I was so happy to hear that. Instead of God being a real jerk, you know, that's kind of the way the Christians put it. And who wants that?
I know. Thank God for Mrs. Eddy. And I was going to get into this idea, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's very important to understand all our organs are under the control of God. I cited a few things in Collectania and also the Blue Book in which heart is spoken of. And first one in Collectania, page 72, there is no overaction, inaction, stoppage, or clogging to the heart, for the heart is love. That includes blood pressure. Then on page 79, there is another heart in us that needs to be changed, namely the human affections. Change from selfishness to benevolence and love for God and man. Changed so as to have but one God and to love him supremely and our brother man as ourselves. This change of heart will have its effect physically as well as spiritually and heal disease sooner than burnt offerings or drugs. It is a good thing to mentally remind yourself daily that God is the only lawmaker for man, morally, spiritually, and physically. So And then I will continue on. And I was just reading this. This doesn't go with heart, but it's beautiful for this time of year. The mental art of thanksgiving carries one far beyond the reign of doubt into that atmosphere of truth and faith where all things are possible. Go not back to asking, but continue to give thanks that you have received. Your gratitude list. Don't forget it. Okay. Then this on page 109. There is only one heart. That is the great heart of divine love. It is beating for all mankind, and it is beating for you. Someone once told me, if your heart is beating for God, well, that's the end of the issue. I always think of that. If your heart beats for God, it's perfection. Okay, and then let's see, one more, if I can find it. On page 106. Oh, my health, strength, life, intelligence, action, etc. are subject to the governing and controlling power of the divine mind and to nothing else, for there is no other power. So that includes your heart, all about your heart. And in the lesson on citation 5, it says the author has healed hopeless organic diseases and raised the dying to life and health through the understanding of God as the only life. Organic diseases. I don't know all my organs, but there are a lot of them, I guess. And they all come under the control of God. Mm-hmm. Do you know this daily? If you know God is your life, it's all you need to know, and you should know it. And then a while ago, Jacob in Costa Rica, he pointed this out to me in Martha Wilcox. I think it's in the article Body, but I'm not sure. This is very significant. Heart trouble does not require matter to express itself. It requires belief only. Think about that. Because ultimately, there is no matter. So, and you can say whatever organ we're talking about here. You know, your kidney, your liver, your lungs, your skin, isn't that an organ? All kinds of organs. They're all under God's control. And they don't need that matter to express itself. It's only belief that seems manifested. And you can change that belief by, as we really discussed in the watching point, progression, belief to understanding. And then it can no longer bother you. Okay, and then in the blue book, did you want to say something, Florence?
No, I'm looking at the golden text here. Anything discordant can't be part of the expected end that God wants to give us.
Thank you. That's beautiful. You know, Eustace and also Carpenter, they walked out. They led long lives. They fought many battles. But you know, this idea you got to be miserable and then croak. I mean, no thanks. I think I'll pass on that. Okay, that's mortal mind. And as I said, I just read It's a Watching Point by Carpenter where he says old age is witchcraft. Don't need to go there. Okay, let's see. This is on page 138. Maybe not. Oh, yes, 138 of the Blue Book. Now, darling, faint not. Bear the cross up the Via Dolorosa, and the crown of thorns will be laid off for the crown of ineffable light and love. Nobody but yourself can destroy a single belief of yours. It will return until all sin that opens the door. It will return until all sin that opens the door to palpitation of the heart or any other lie is destroyed. Bum, 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 bum. Okay. She's saying, you know, when you have these beliefs, It opens the door to these things. So don't do it. No, you have understanding, not beliefs, but understanding. And then the last one. Well, I'm not sure. I thought it was on page 37, but I'm not finding it anyway. The other thing that I give often to people is in questions and answers, the question asked, do you believe in a change of heart? I won't read that to you, but that is a total treatment. Mm-hmm. And you can find it in miscellaneous writings. So we are under God's government, God's law. And as Florence said, God doesn't give us, he gives us an expected end, not one of evil, where we can pass on. And even that, Mrs. Eddy says we shouldn't say that, but walk on, exit, graduate, whatever word you want to use. It should be just one with peace and authority. When it's time, when we've done our work here and it's time to leave. And as this lesson brings out, what does the lesson on probation after death bring out?
The probation goes on daily, hourly.
Yes.
The progress continues, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and what, you know, and to put this in perspective, what are the thoughts that God thinks toward us?
Great thoughts, good thoughts. Good, real harmonious thoughts.
Yeah, and furthermore, God's thoughts are the laws that govern the whole universe, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like you and I just sort of having a thought about something. God's thoughts are the law. They are inviolate. They govern everything. So it's not like a wish or a hope. It's the reality of all things.
Yes.
So the idea of probation after death is we're still learning the reality of all things. And we've got eternity to do it. So, you know, that doesn't mean you can slack off and, you know, cruise for a while without paying the price.
Thank you. Nancy, would you like to read what you sent us? Nancy?
Yes, I would like that. From Philippians, work out your own salvation. And this is from Matthew Henry. Work out your own salvation, for it is God who worketh in you. This encourages us to do our utmost, because our labor shall not be in vain. We must still depend on the grace of God. The working of God's grace in us is to quicken and engage our endeavors. God's good will to us is the cause of his good work in us. Do your duty without murmuring. Do it and do not find fault with it. Mind your work and do not quarrel with it. By peaceableness, give no just occasion of offense. The children of God should differ from the sons of men. The more perverse others are, the more careful we should be to keep ourselves blameless and harmless. The doctrine and example of consistent believers will enlighten others and direct their way to Christ and holiness, even as the lighthouse warns mariners to avoid rocks and directs their course into the harbor. Let us try thus to shine. The gospel is the word of life. It makes known to us eternal life through Jesus Christ. That was Matthew Henry commentary.
Yes. He does. Remember, it was Jim Dybel who sent me a Matthew Henry commentary. There's so much good in that commentary. Thank you.
You're all welcome. 80
all 80 pounds of it, yes. Thank you. And I wanted to say briefly, the responsive reading, Colossians 1, praying always for you. I've mentioned this before, so I won't get into it too much, but that is a very pure prayer. Colossians 1, 9 to 13. If you ever want to pray for anyone about anything, it's a pure prayer. You're not asking, you know, that they go to some school or marry some person or whatever. It's a pure prayer that they are fruitful in every good work. They be filled with the knowledge of God. It's increasing, that they're strengthened with all the might of God, and that they are grateful and giving thanks to God. So it's a beautiful prayer to say for yourself and for others as well. Now, the story of Paul, Saul to Paul, such a beautiful story. I love the whole lot of it is in this lesson. But one of the grandest lessons of the story of Saul to Paul is that he was able, after persecuting Christians and doing such evil in his past, to get on with it, right? To let go of his past and move on and do great works for God. This is very important because we've all made mistakes or have regrets about our past. But if you keep the past alive by thinking about it all the time, you're limiting your happiness, your growth, all good things. So, and just as we just talked about, these thoughts aren't from God. Once you have repented of it, whatever it was you did, if in fact it was a mistake or something wrong, and then changed, that's very, very important, then you can leave that past to God and move forward with a free heart, a free conscience. You've done what you should do. And anything else, if it still devils you, well, that is the devil. It's not God. So Parthens from Colorado, he sent me this week this really good article called Justification by Ira Packard. It's in the May 1913 Sentinel, which I'll read some of it to you. But I would also like to mention, we've also have an article, I guess, I don't know if it's on the website, but it's called You Can Revise the Past. It's also very good.
I don't think we can put it on.
Yeah, it's a more recent one. And then also a testimony that Andrea gave about the Christ blots out mistake and penalty, which is also excellent. And that is on the website, I'm sure, Andrea. Yes. Okay, so Ira Packard says, Christian Science teaches that in order to comprehend God aright and to understand our divine sonship, our eternal unity with God, thought must be freed from false trusts and the erroneous conclusions resulting therefrom. One of the most subtle of these malconclusions is the belief of a material past. The belief that we have been mortal and we have had in the past material experiences which were realities. While this error remains undestroyed or unrebuked in our thought, it binds us with mental shackles to the conclusion that we have a debt to pay for past offenses, physical or moral. Thus, we labor under the blighting influence of fear and self-condemnation, the procuring causes of sickness and death. A number of years ago, a Christian Science practitioner had as a patient a Civil War veteran who was suffering from the wound received in the war. The case not yielding to treatment, Mrs. Eddy was asked what she thought the error could be that prevented the healing. She replied, in effect, that the practitioner as well as the patient believed that there had once been a war and regarded it as a link in the man's history. How many of us have freed our thought entirely from the belief that error, evil, has had a history. We are told that the Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, and in order to demonstrate the truth for ourselves and others, it is absolutely necessary that thought be relieved from this incubus, this belief in a material past, for so long as it remains, we are yielding assent to error's claim that we possess a life apart from God. Of what a load we can be relieved when we understand that in truth there is no evil past to torment and nag us by its memory. Thus the belief of heredity is blotted out, the belief of prenatal influence, and the belief that man, God's idea, has ever been the slave or servant of sin. We can also find escape from the conscious or unconscious belief that we are under any parental verdict, doctor's verdict, or human sentence of any kind, that we have been injured by malpractice, either physical or mental, that we have broken a physical law in the past and must suffer the consequences thereof. In the light of truth, all of these claims are seen to be false, no part of true existence. For if man in Christ, the spiritual idea, for if any man be in Christ, the spiritual idea, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, because these things were never true. Mm-hmm. It's very powerful. It must be used with great reverence, this idea. We were taught if it wasn't good, it never happened in divine mind. It's an absolute statement. But it can truly only be said if you have repented and you are done with the sin. If you are still sinning and you think you're going to get away by just saying, oh, it never happened, so tomorrow I'll do it again. Sorry, that's not going to work at all. In fact, that will lead to damnation because you're misusing the rules and laws of the universe. They must be used with great reverence. But this is certainly something that Paul must have known. And then he went on to do such great works, to write how many chapters in the Bible. But he gave his past to God, and we all must. So
I just wanted to say from the last thing you were saying, Mrs. Eddy says, if living in disobedience to him, we ought to feel no security, although God is good. Science and health.
Thank you. Thank you. Perfect. All right, well, I have many more things, but tonight, or today, this morning, this afternoon, no, this morning, we'll end. Now, this is The Eternal Mercy by Blanche Hershey Hoke. This was sent to me by Carrie a while ago, but it's so beautiful. It's from a 1906 article. It's probably on our website. Gary will just, we've read it before, but it's beautiful. It goes along with what we're saying. We'll end it today with this.
She writes, in the Lamentations of Jeremiah, God's mercies are recalled, and it is written of them, quote, they are new every morning, end quote. Tender and clear, like the early shining of the morning dew, the loving kindness of the Lord springs anew with each awakening in that heart which turns to him for all that the day may bring forth. A new day has such wondrous possibilities. It holds such untried opportunities for knowing and being and doing all that is good. It unfolds so many unstained hours in which to correct yesterday's mistakes and to profit by yesterday's lessons, that psalmist and prophet and poet have found in it a beautiful type of the renewal of all that is beautiful and true. As the new morning follows each night, so renewed consecration and endeavor may follow every season of sorrow, oppression, or failure. And no experience is so severe but that its night passes and its morning breaks. Whensoever thought turns without reservation to God, for deliverance and enlightenment. Joy cometh in the morning, and the mornings lengthen into an eternal noonday. As the unreality of evil is made more and more apparent in the expanding knowledge of the supremacy of God, until there shall be, as St. John has prophesied, no night there. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. End quote. Revelation. God's eternal mercy, made forever manifest in evil's unreality, shall reign supreme.
Thank you all for joining our watch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.